Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. My heart is still so full from the installation service last Sunday. Thank you to all of you who came, who helped to make it such a special service, and the reception after, such a special time of fellowship. It meant so very much to me, and I think that all of those who were here really found it to be a meaningful time. Thank you. As my service of installation was approaching, these last couple weeks, I've been thinking a lot about my call to Holly Grove, and it brought to my mind a lot of the call process. And I wanted to share with you some of the things that really excited me and drew me to Holly Grove. So part of the call process is I have to write a 16-page document to submit to churches who are interested in calling me as their pastor. And churches do something very similar. They complete a 16-page document called a ministry site profile. It's very elaborate. All of this is about Holly Grove and your ministries and your church and your life together. And this was compiled by Sherry Proctor and Karen Beck and Tony Chapman. They worked so very hard on this. And as I was reading your ministry site profile, I got so excited about the backpack program. I got very excited about the teen parent program. When I read your mission statement, my heart felt like it was going to swell and swell as united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. So many churches are good at inreach. They're good at loving their people and loving one another and taking care of one another. And this is good and important. But the church doesn't exist for the sake of the church. The church exists for the sake of the world, and we are called to go out of these walls and share God's love and grace with all the world. And there is a world that is in desperate need of God's love and grace. And so when I read your mission statement, and when I read about these things that you are doing to share God's love and grace with the world, it excited me about coming to Holly Grove. And I remember Jane in our first meeting saying, you know, we are a small church, but we are a mighty church. And I remember that. And I think that beautifully describes what Jesus is trying to say in today's parable, that God takes small things and makes them grow for the sake of the kingdom and for the sake of the world, that the whole world would know God's love and grace. Think about some of the folks in Scripture that we might describe as small or unassuming that God used to do remarkable things in the world. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a very young teenage girl from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? But it is this young girl that God chose to bear his son for the world. Or think of little David, who all of his brothers were so scared of Goliath. They were all much bigger, much stronger than he was. And here's this little runt of a boy. And God uses him to defeat Goliath. We could go all throughout Scripture and find all of these people and groups that God used that were unassuming, and they shouldn't be the heroes of the story, but God used them to help bring about God's plan here on earth. All throughout Scripture, God uses ordinary people, imperfect people, people who don't have it all together, people who don't have it all figured out. Even at Jesus' death and resurrection, the disciples still didn't have a full understanding of what they were experiencing and what was happening. God uses even people who don't have it all figured out to do God's work in the world. The parables today remind us that God doesn't need our works, that God doesn't need our help in bringing about God's kingdom, that these seeds that God plants, they don't need anything we can offer to help them grow. But in baptism, we are called into God's mission, and we are called to participate in the love of God that is transforming the world around us. So Jesus says, what can we say? What can we use to compare to the kingdom of God? What parable shall we use? Our psalm today talks about the cedars of Lebanon. Ezekiel talks about the lofty and mighty cedars. But Jesus doesn't follow suit. He instead switches over to a mustard seed. In the time of Jesus, a mustard seed was a metaphor for the smallest thing. Jesus uses this, and I don't even know how many were in here. If I had had the time, I might have taken them out and had people guess, and whoever guessed the right answer for how many seeds are in this jar could have gotten a prize. But Jesus takes the smallest, the scruffiest little seed, and that's what he compares the kingdom of God to. The mustard plant was a very common bush. Some might even call it a sturdy weed. It could pop up just about anywhere, and it would start multiplying, and once it started multiplying, there was no stopping it. We might compare it to a thistle or ground ivy, but it was much, much bigger and much sturdier. I can just imagine that those who were listening to Jesus might have groaned or even giggled. Why is Jesus talking about a mustard seed and a mustard plant, much less comparing the kingdom of God to it? Perhaps they were thinking that Jesus is missing the mark here, that he should have been talking about a much larger, more stately plant, like a tree, like a cedar tree. A cedar tree would have been more majestic, more magnificent, much more impressive than a mustard seed and a mustard plant. But I think this is also true of the kingdom of God, of God's reign here on earth, that so often it doesn't look like we want it to look, or it doesn't look like we think it should look. It doesn't meet our expectations. And this is often the way that God works in the world. And unfortunately, for those who can't see it, and those who don't want to see it, they cut it and they tear it down because they're not expecting the kingdom of God to appear this way. And so they take those mustard plants and they burn them so that they can craft a much more beautiful landscape, something more pleasing to the eyes, something that meets their expectations. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, that the kingdom of God has never looked like the greatness and power that human nations try to build for themselves. Because the kingdom of God is not about greatness, and it's not about power. Jesus himself laid all of that aside to take on human flesh, to become one of us. He emptied himself of power and greatness. He humbled himself even to the point of death, death on a cross. Jesus was crucified because he didn't meet people's expectations. He wasn't what they thought God should be or do what God would do. He ate and spent time with sinners and tax collectors, those people that the religious leaders of the day wouldn't even give the time of day to. He healed those who were despised and unwanted. He touched people who the religious leaders of his day thought were untouchable. He cared for the poor and the least of these, those who were ignored and dismissed by others, who others thought didn't have any value. Jesus valued them, and he cared for them. He ministered to those on the margins, those who others thought shouldn't even exist. He valued their existence, and he ministered to them. Jesus was crucified and put to death in a gruesome and horrifying way. All of this is what the kingdom of God looks like. Not like what we want it to, not like what we expect it to. It's the opposite of human greatness and power. God's power is drastically different than human power. And so Jesus uses the image of a mustard seed, of the smallest, perhaps most insignificant, perhaps most annoying seed of them all. Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Because God takes seemingly insignificant seeds and he grows them and he transforms them into large, lush bushes, so large and lush that birds find rest in its shade. And God does this with us too. We are small but mighty because of God. How many times have you thought what you have offered to God as an individual or as a family or as a church that it's just not enough? It's not big enough, it's not good enough, it's not flashy enough. So often we think what we have to offer to God isn't good enough. God takes yarn and hands that knit together prayer shawls to bless people in this congregation who are struggling. God uses that prayer shawl to comfort and bless an individual so that they can be wrapped in the love and prayers of Holly Grove. God takes a clothes basket and baby items to bless single teen moms who might not otherwise get a baby shower or any baby gifts for their newborn children. God takes boxes of macaroni and cheese and ramen noodle and cans of beans and fruit in this blessing box and uses it to feed hungry children and hungry families. God takes our tithes and offerings that we gather and collect up every Sunday. God takes what we offer and blesses it. We can't control what God does with it. All we can do is offer it. What God does with it is up to God. We scatter and sow seeds, no matter how insignificant and scruffy they are. God is the one who grows them. As we are regathering together, as we are sort of figuring out what our life together here at Holly Grove is going to look like at this stage in the pandemic and moving forward, I'm encouraging committees to regather and to get up and running again, because there are so many needs in the world around us. And we are called to look and see where the kingdom of God already is, to see where God is active and present in the world. And we are called to join God in loving and caring for others and in meeting the needs of the world. As your committees are at work looking for all of this and looking to see what God is doing, remember, God doesn't often work in ways that we expect or anticipate. Be open to God doing and being at work in the world in ways that we might not imagine. Because God uses the smallest of seeds, the most insignificant of seeds, the most tiny offerings that we can offer. God uses them to take root in the world and to grow and multiply the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's love and mercy and peace and justice. And so here at Holly Grove, we might be small, but by God's grace and with God's love, we can be mighty. So God, may your kingdom come in ways that we don't expect, in ways beyond our imagining, and may it come through us. Amen.